It's got almost no musical for me. It's just, and it's weird going through these tracks. The further it goes on, it just feels like there's less and less soul in them. It's almost like a direct negative, like exponential, really.
Well, to me, it gets much worse from the 80s on.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it gets worse. I've chosen some of these songs because they grate the hell on me too.
Yeah.
Especially the ones by that Rich Neal.
Yeah.
But I think they're demonstrating, because a lot of people were just blissing out on this stuff.
Yeah.
They thought Baraji's terribly tentative, embarrassing dancing was like taking them to the peak of ecstasy. You know?
Yeah. I know. Scary, really.
Yeah, right.
And really, I did see a little bit of the of him dancing on film a while back, and it was truly cringeworthy. I'd forgotten just quite how bad it was.
Shocking, absolutely.
I mean, it just shows you what you can get away with, really, in certain circumstances.
Yep, it's astonishing to me how people have managed to go the distance. You know, now the current revisionist history in DLM is that Prem came from India. Naturally enough, he and especially his Indian followers brought all these Indianized ideas along with them. But once he realized that we were mistaken, you know, just because they're calling him God and the Lord of the Universe doesn't mean that's what we think it means. Oh, good gracious, no. And he began to change things and get us on the straight and narrow and lead us away from those false concepts. But that's not how I remember it. I remember those concepts and that Indianization, that importance of the guru, that divinity of the guru, becoming more and more overt, more and more intense, and more hammered upon from 1976 right through 1981-82. And here I've got a couple of songs coming up that I think show that pretty well.
What is it all about? Why is this world here? Why is that whole universe there? Who is that Lord? Who is that Creator? What's this thing inside of me somewhere longing to become one with Him?
Spreading this knowledge to all mankind. Ooh.
Unfortunately, of course, the singer and author of these songs was Ritenial, a man whose enthusiasm and joy greatly outweighed his talent and his ability to sing. And that songs go, they're awfully long. So I've actually pruned off a verse or two here and there to sort of cut it down a little bit. But I don't think you can actually get a real true picture of what was going on in DLM in those days unless you sit through these songs. And the next one is, well, it's hard to believe that he made all this up and got Miraji up and dancing on his own whims. Really, you've got to think, surely it had to go the other way, didn't it? I'd be happy if someone could explain how that all worked.
Long to see.
Well, Paddy, I'd have to say there were a few things that were really starting to resonate with me at the time in terms of starting to question, which I'd obviously put aside for a large number of years as much as possible. And those two really just, well, I just find them appalling personally. And I wondered exactly why you chose those tracks.
Well, because they, although musically I find them appalling, and I found them appalling then, they are a complete and true reflection of the development of a land vitale of the day, you know? And to me, it was just absolutely astonishing that we went from the early days of changing the world, saving the world, to at least to me, a time where meditation and realization were the important focuses of foci. But then we went into a phase that was so overtly super devotional that these tracks actually were an accurate reflection of the time, of what Divine Light Mission was trying to have its followers, you know, experience and feel, and what they were aspiring to. I can remember Kissimmee 678. He actually came out and he began to dance, and it was dark. There was 20,000 of us or so in the paddock. I looked around, and I seemed to be the only person who wasn't going out of their mind with joy. Mate, what can I say? Cringe to the greatest level. And hey, I was about as deep in meditation as I could ever was, or try to be at any rate. Yeah, so there it is.
Indeed. And, well, which leads us on to the next one, which is, I'm not sure what the track is called, by Guru Charanand.
Well, it's called something, presumably something like, "Oh my Guru Maharaj, you are the world's greatest lord of the universe that ever was, ever will be, and may I kiss your feet." You know, I mean,
right. I put it down as "The Glory of My Master," just because that's one of the lines. Is that what it's actually called, yeah?
That's what it's called, yeah.
Right, let's go into that then.
I put this in because this was probably the last tape that I got that I remember being produced. You know, it was in the early 80s, maybe as late as 82. But according to the revisionist history of today, Prem Rawat had been trying to alter the Indian focus for years before this. Mm. You know what I mean? What a load of bullshit, you know? and it wasn't like only all the musicians, at least in Australia, One Foundation, the local musicians, were trying to do Bhajanish sort of stuff, you know? I don't even know how it's pronounced. It was ultra Indian, you know?
And the weird thing that comes up, thinking back to that period, and also listening to the music, and coming from another take on that bland thing for me, it all sounds very corporate and superficially slick in some way. Not so much the Guru Charanand one, but it was almost like it was all, it's weird, it's like you've got this intense, more and more devotion supposedly coming through in the music, and yet it gets more and more superficial on the surface as music, which is, well, it's just oddness. I just find it odd.
Well, I don't necessarily agree. I'm no technical musician. I don't know anything about the, you know, making comments of that nature. Certainly, as far as I can see, the emotional responses being engendered by this music at the time, and being a reflection, the music being a reflection of how people were feeling at the time, was quite accurate. Hey, they were professional musicians, these people, and they're putting out a you call it possibly a slick package, as slick as they possibly could get. Especially in the later years, they started to use studios with synthesizers or whatever, you know, computers, whatever, and I didn't enjoy the music anywhere near as much, and it got much worse from then on.
Indeed. So
John Lee Hooker, Muddy Waters, none of this music is anything like that.
And no, even indeed.
Otis Redding, you know.
Oh, please. I don't even want to be talking about Otis Redding in this context. Now there we are talking soul.
Otis live at Monterey, mate. Now that's music.
Oh, no, indeed. And I have been on a little bit of an Otis Redding one recently, and, yeah, indeed. Enough said. So let's go on to Guru Charana then, and the glory of my master.
Well, you can't get more plain than that, can you?
Raji, you are the Lord.
Quite an interesting first line. But it didn't just end there. As I recall, I was sort of pretty well out of things by about 1980, but I was hanging around for... It was hard to make a break. I mean, I really loved that satsang and meditation, the whole damn deal. But far from turning it into a sort of westernized non-Indian things... The whole thing began to get more and more Indian, and they began to be singing bhajans, especially Guru Charanand. And why does everyone now call him Charanand? Wasn't he always called Guru Charanand? Not that he was a guru, of course. He wasn't the dust on the lotus feet of young Prem Rawat, according to him. So here's his next song by the man himself, which apparently, I just found out by reading David Lovejoy's book, was originally a carpenter. That's the most interesting bit of news I got out of that book.
The glory of my master is endless. How could I ever express the glory of my master is endless? How could I ever express? For the sake of his children, for the sake of his children, my Lord has taken a form. Oh, such a beautiful form. My Lord has taken a form. Oh, such a beautiful form. The glory of my master is endless. How could I ever express? Cut the ties to worldly attachment. He cut the ties to worldly attachment. Planted to me sweet love, flowing from his lotus feet. Planted to me sweet love, flowing from his lotus feet. The glory of my master is endless. How could I ever express? To his true realm and his port of love. beautiful throne, where my Lord is seated in his magnificent throne. Where my Lord is seated in his magnificent throne. The glory of my Master is endless, how could I ever express? The glory of my Master is endless, how could I ever express? Of my Master, the love of my Master, the mercy of my Master, the glory of my Master is endless. How could I ever express the glory of my Master is endless? How could I ever express?
Well, it's just, it's got almost no musical for me. It's just, and it's weird going through these tracks. The further it goes on, it just feels like there's less and less soul in them. It's almost like a direct negative, like exponential, really.
Well, to me, it gets much worse from the 80s on.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's, yeah, it gets worse. I've chosen some of these songs because they grate the hell on me too.
Yeah.
Especially the ones by that Rich Neal.
Yeah.
But I think they're demonstrating, because a lot of people were just blissing out on this stuff.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
They thought Baraji's terribly tentative, embarrassing dancing was like taking them to the peak of ecstasy. You know?
Yeah. I know. Scary, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And really, I did see a little bit of the of him dancing on film a while back, and it was truly cringeworthy. I'd forgotten just quite how bad it was.
Shocking, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows you what you can get away with, really, in certain circumstances.
Yep, it's astonishing to me how people have managed to go the distance.
See that quote that came up from just a year ago on the forum the other day?
What, from India?
Yeah, where he said about coming from another planet.
He said lots of things in Hindi.
Yeah, indeed. But, I mean, the fact that he's still got the gall to make statements like that now, I just find it unbelievable.
Well, you've got to understand, first of all, from my perspective, I sort of think it's not like he's well aware that virtually no one will ever hear this stuff, you know? That there's plenty of opportunity for state, you know, making lots of comments that no one will ever care about.
No.
Most of the people he's going to attract are certainly not going to trawl through everything he's ever said in a desperate attempt to disprove him, you know what I mean?
No, but it's so blatantly manipulative, do you know what I mean? And completely lacking in any kind of moral scruples. That's what I find. I mean, in some ways, I don't know if it's just like, just total arrogance, overconfidence, just doesn't give a toss about anybody. I really don't know. In some ways, I would love to spend some time with him and just really get to grips on his psychology a little bit.
You and me both, but I think you've got it there. As long as you understand that on one hand, in front of premiers, incredible arrogance, but of course, great, the opposite of that out in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, he's caught between the two, and under the circumstances, wouldn't you ensure that you only ever had, you know, people you could rely upon to be your audience? Why on earth would you want to go out to be humiliated?
Yeah, I would hope if I was ever in a guru position that I would do it with a little bit more integrity.
Well, I'll tell you what I would do. I'd be hanging out with my devotees. You know what I mean? What tremendous fun. He's sitting around with his shirt sat saying, you know, We'd have a wow of a time, but he cuts himself off from personal contact with all but the smallest handful of people.
Yeah.
Everything's got to be manipulated up on the stage, up on the throne, with the lighting so that the camera doesn't show his double chins too much. You know, the whole deal, it's quite sick.
Yeah.
He was not born to be a cult leader, right? Some people have got what it takes.
Yeah.
He fell into the job, and I think part of the, you know, it's... that's part of the fascination, to see how he's handled it.